So there's a new initiative centered at Michigan Central, which is aiming to combat this problem of organized retail crime. It's coordinated, it's sophisticated, and it's this idea of a cargo hub where retailers and law enforcement, they share real-time data and intelligence on, mm-hmm. on the whereabouts of these items in these cargo hubs. But the idea is to target theft not just at the store level. That's right. A problem in and of itself.
Sure.
But even before it gets there, trying to avoid these supply chain issues mm-hmm. that we've seen. Let's talk about it. William Hallin is the president and CEO of the Michigan Retailers Association and joins us this morning. William, it's great to have you.
Great. Thanks for having me on.
So people that you represent, retailers, are saying that organized crime is getting more sophisticated, more coordinated. What are the gaps that you're working with lawmakers on to avoid these, you know, high-profile retail thefts?
Yeah, really appreciate that. Organized retail crime should definitely be distinguished from ordinary shoplifting. It is large-scale theft with the intent to resell the items for financial gain. And what happens is they use that money to further other criminal illicit activities like human trafficking, terrorism, and drug smuggling. The problem is this is not just happening in Michigan. It's happening across the borders. It's happening across state lines. So we really need federal legislation to help combat this problem.
You know, a lot of these stolen products eventually end up online. Has e-commerce platforms like made it easier for organized criminals to move these stolen goods?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and the Inform Act was passed in Michigan, and it was passed by Congress a couple years ago, which is to help crack down on the sale of illicit items on marketplaces. But you're always trying to catch up with the criminals, and they're always thinking one step ahead. And the problem is, if you're a consumer and you're buying that good, you don't always know if it's counterfeit, if it's been stolen.
Right.
So you don't know what product you're getting. So we want to make sure consumers are protected as well.
How is Lansing getting involved?
We've been doing a lot in Michigan. Michigan's actually probably the leader in organized retail crime. Mm-hmm. Right now, we have a bill that's passed through the House, and it's on the Senate floor, which would add gift card fraud to our organized retail crime statute. And what criminals are doing with gift card fraud is they'll take a gift card off the shelf, they'll manipulate the data on it, and then they'll put it back on the shelf. So when a consumer goes in and they buy it, the criminal is notified immediately, and they're able to pull the money off of it. So then you go to use your gift card, and it has no money on it. So we're trying to add that to our existing organized retail crime statute. And then we're working with the Attorney General
as well. How are they doing that?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, or maybe you don't want to give away the goods. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know exactly what mechanism they use to be able to manipulate the data, but they're able to basically play with the mag strip and all the data on the gift card so that as soon as you load it with money, they get notified and they wipe it, and then they put it back on the shelf. So it's a huge issue.
How much are retailers investing in security and technology and loss prevention simply just to keep up with these sophisticated theft operations?
It's a huge line item for retailers. I mean, ORC costs American retailers about $69 billion per year, and Michigan retailers about $2.3 billion a year. So the problem is, when ORC happens, I mean, eventually those losses do flow to the consumer ultimately, because a retailer has to be profitable, and if they're having losses in one area of their business, they have to increase prices, and that's certainly something I think every Michigander is sensitive to right now.
Yeah.
Hypothetically, if you were to cut brick and mortars out of the equation, would this theft go down?
So what's interesting is in Michigan right now, about 20% of total retail sales are online, which is about 4% higher than the national average. What we want is we want excellent brick-and-mortar sales in Michigan. We want people to be intentional and think about purchasing online or think about purchasing at a brick-and-mortar store in Michigan and not just online. Online can supplement what they're doing. But I don't think pushing people online is a good result for Michigan's economy.
And if listeners think this issue doesn't affect them because they say, look, I'm not a retailer, what's the biggest misconception about organized retail crime that you like to change?
I think the biggest misconception is that it's not shoplifting. I mean, ORC is not an opportunistic crime by a teenager that's looking to steal a candy bar or a shirt from a popular store for personal gain. It is organized on a large scale, and they're stealing items at large volume, like you mentioned at the top of this interview, cargo theft, and then they're using those goods to further other even more dangerous criminal activities. And that's what people don't understand. This is not small-scale theft.
We just have 30 seconds left here. Are these organized crime organizations, are they originating in the United States? Are they from, adversarial countries? Who's doing this?
It's all across the board, honestly. I mean, you have outside countries doing it. You have teams in all the states that are doing it as well, and they kind of move up the eastern seaboard. And that's why we need coordination between state and federal government so that they have a solution to be able to combat this.
William Hallin, it's a problem. We appreciate you and others that are looking at it. Thank you for your time this morning. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, but those gift cards, man.
That's crazy.
Oh, definitely.
You know what I saw the other day, though? If you've gone to a gas station and at your pump, it'll say, scan here and use Apple Pay or Google Pay or whatever it is. Well, I we should look into this, but I had seen a story that basically said those are phony. Like, if you are going to use your phone to tap or scan the QR code, you just scan the actual tap place on the pump.
On the pump, that's right.
You wouldn't use that.
Mm-mm.
I had seen that those were phony. They're not real. They're not tied to the gas station. People just come and put those stickers down. When you scan them, they have access to your money now.
You got
to
be careful when you do that, because a lot of these have these card readers that capture this information that are stuck on the pump, and you're sticking your card in, but you're really going through this card reader that they put on and stuff. And
we should look into that to make sure that's legitimate.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, coming up on the other side, a first-of-its-kind forum on UAPs. Bunch of folks getting together. We'll talk about it on the other side. But first at 7:44, time for Automotive Views with Mike Martinez. It's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Learn more at michiganbusiness.org.
Give credit where it's due. Ford Motor Company rose to become the top-rated mass-market brand in J.D. Power's annual initial quality study. The Dearborn automaker has struggled for years with vehicle defects, high recalls, and costly warranties, but a methodic turnaround plan took them to the top of this year's rankings. How'd they do it? Daily problem-solving sessions that would focus on an individual issue until it was fixed, a new organizational structure that streamlined workflows, and rehiring hundreds of veteran specialists to fix problems that AI systems were getting wrong. Plus, a few key hires. Bryce Curry, a manufacturing executive from Johnson Controls, instituted bus tours of Ford's plants to share best practices. Liz Dorr, chief supply chain officer from Whirlpool, got more buy-in from Ford's suppliers. Ford desperately needed to solve its quality problems. Recalls are still high, but this ranking is a big sign that things are looking up. With this week's Automotive View, I'm Mike Martinez with Automotive News.